You're listening to Hottery Humble.
No howling, only wooing.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go!
Welcome to episode 30 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I'm joined today live, not for you, but live for me, with the greatest value, Chaz Michael Michaels. Yes, Chad Graham's with us. We'll just mention his name once. I'll now refer to him ongoing as Chaz because one of the listeners said every time they hear Chad's name, it makes them mad. Wait, I already said that the name that shall not be mentioned again. So I'm going to try to use the name Chaz from now on unless that changes, unless Chad gets annoyed. So
I'm fine.
All right, Chaz. Chaz. Well, Chaz, how you doing today, man?
Super. I'm doing super. It's warm outside, Tommy. It's warm.
Ooh, you love it. You're in a good day today. You're having one.
It's a good day.
Did you eat some ice cream or a snow cone? It's so warm.
Did you eat ice cream? No, I would like some ice cream. What did I have a treat today? Nope.
You need a treat.
I didn't have a treat.
Every man needs a treat.
Every man needs a treat.
Every day. we don't need to get into more. So, Chad, give us an update on your mattress real fast.
Oh, still just sitting in my garage.
Nothing.
Still semi-wet.
Still? That's like weeks, man. That's really
bad. It's moist.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's going to be like plants growing on that pretty soon. I'm sure there's seeds are all over that thing.
There's like mud and dirt on it. And then, yeah, still wet. Tire marks.
Anything else going on with you lately that you want to talk about?
When I'm just mad at somebody, I'm just going to run it over. I know that. My neighbor's flower bed looks bad. Guess what? I'm just going to run it over.
Run it over. Yeah. Love it. Well, hey, well, let's kick off the show today. We have a special guest. His name is Blake Cobb. He's one of my dear old high school friends. He is a person I consider to know a lot about baseball. So Chad and I wanted to share an interview we had with Blake. So let's kick it off to that. Up next, we have a very special guest, a very special friend of mine. His name is Blake Cobb.
Chad's here.
Blake, how are you doing today?
Doing good. I love that y'all are fighting over my friendship there. Thanks, Chad.
I've known Blake longer.
True.
You've known him longer, but he likes me more.
So. So we're bringing on Blake today because I consider him to be one of my friends that knows the most about baseball in general. So I knew I at least wanted him to get him on here at least once to talk about baseball. Maybe more. We'll see. But first off, Blake, no one knows who you are, likely, that's listening here. So just tell us a little bit about yourself. What's, you know, who you are?
Man, so first and foremost, with Tommy going back, musician, love playing music. That's how me and Tommy got involved. Sharing baseball stories is great now. Razorback fanhood is another common thing amongst all of us. So meeting up in college, hanging out, talking games, going to some games. It's always fun. So glad I can bring the baseball perspective here.
Y'all went to the UK game, didn't you, this year?
Yes. Yes. I don't even know how explicitly – I probably just said I went with some friends. I didn't bring up Blake's name specifically. But, yes, I actually met up with Blake and another friend for the UK game. So, yeah, me and Blake go way back to high school days. And
if I would have gone to that game with you, Blake, I would have mentioned you by name. But who's the better friend? Whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. At the Kentucky game, man, you might have known too much. It might have been too close to the heart. I don't know if we've been friends after that.
So, Blake, with every guest, I want to know, you know, is there anything out there that you want the audience to do? Is there anything that we can promote for you? Do you want followers? Do you want anything like that, Blake? Or are you just here just to be here just for the fun of it?
I'm here to, for the fun of it first and foremost, but I would say if you're in Central Arkansas and you have business insurance needs, hit me up. Or if you got baseball players, I represent a company called Arkansas Prospects, and we've got teams from 7-year-old all the way up till 18-year-old. So we got a lot of guys currently on the roster, or what we'll talk about later, who have been recruited by Arkansas. And it's really exciting time for Central Arkansas baseball. So if you got a kid and you're looking to try out, hit up Arkansas Prospects. Tell them you heard them on the podcast.
A lot of in-state talent. Kyle, what position did you play growing up?
Growing up, I played pretty much anything but middle infield. And then all of a sudden, I saw a need at catcher when I was in high school and just learned the position and played 3 years in high school and 1 year of college at catcher primarily. So,
did you have that O-Pitz cannon?
Not at all. Not even close. Not even close. If I threw the ball as hard as he did, my arm would fall out of socket.
Same.
So, Blake, I want to hit you with some rapid fire questions just to break the ice, get to know you a little bit better. All right. Who is your favorite Major League Baseball player current?
Currently, man, I would have to say Yadier Molina. All time, though, Ken Griffey Jr., no question.
Backwards hat.
Junior or senior? You say junior? Sorry. I'll stay out of this.
Who says Ken Griffey Sr.? Name one person that would say Ken Griffey Sr.
There may be some people out there.
I have a Ken Griffey Sr. baseball card, believe it or not. Okay, favorite.
Wait, who's the baseball player that you hate, Tommy, that I kind of like?
Oh, Bryce Harper. Hate Bryce Harper. He's my most hated athlete, period.
Sorry.
All right, Blake, favorite former Razorback baseball player?
Former player, I really, really enjoyed watching Benny Baseball. It's probably way up there. If not him, I really liked
Brett Ibner.
Dominic, yeah, Ibner was really good. Fletcher, most recently, was always fun to watch. I hope he makes it through the minors pretty quick and gets a shot. So
awesome. Okay, now this one, this is specific to you. I don't even think Chad could answer this question. What is your favorite pitch sequence for a pitcher to call?
If you can work a batter sequence, it really depends on what your arsenal is, but I would say if you've got it, being able to throw a high fastball and throw a curveball off a high fastball, speed guys up and then change their eyes and slow them down. So
sweet. All right, man. Well, those were my rapid fire questions. You did awesome. So thank you for that. Yeah. So let's get into a little bit recent Razorback baseball, just misery lately, to be honest. The last weekend was a downer. Blake, I know you came like ready with all kinds of stats and stuff. So I feel like I can just give it to you. What was something that stood out to you over the weekend watching the games, if anything? What were some of your takeaways?
We strike out way too much. That's the biggest takeaway that I see. We are hitting very well. We're hitting for a lot of extra base hits, but it doesn't happen often enough. So just the fact that we got to put the ball in play and just get another run or two a game, because our defense is horrid right now. So
is the strikeout problem, is that a fixable problem?
Yeah. You just make contact. It's that simple. I mean,
are they just overswinging? Are they trying to hit home runs?
Well, I heard you guys ripping on Eastern Illinois. The one pitcher, Chad, you're wrong. He was really good. Outside of that, not a lot of quality arms. Gonzaga had some quality arms, not real speedy arms, but quality arms. This weekend, we saw a little different. We saw some overpowering arms, and we were not ready for it. Also, this week, we didn't have any midweek games, so I think that plays a little bit into it as well. Jumping from Gonzaga to Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas is probably the biggest jump we'll see this year. Those are conference-like games, and I don't think, honestly, we're ready for them.
Yeah, obviously a huge takeaway, very publicly known for the Sunday game. Dave Van Horn benched Casey Martin, one of our supposed stars who's slumping. Did you agree with that decision, or is Dave Van Horn just becoming a senile old man who needs to hang up his cleats?
Well, the biggest thing I saw there, my takeaway from that was that, first of all, you don't question Dave Van Horn.
Exactly.
I know I know at first when Musselman came along listening to you guys, you don't question Musselman. And now it seems like a lot of people want to question Musselman.
Yes.
Van Horn's in his 18th season. You don't question the guy. He is as good as anybody in the country. So, but to take Casey out, I think was a strong statement to our defense and our lack of putting the ball in play. He knows as well as anybody that you can throw hard, you can hit hard, but it doesn't matter if you can't make outs and you can't put the ball in play. So I think he is setting an example there with Casey. I think other guys are getting the message a little bit. We played really well against Baylor Sunday night, but they're one of the better teams we're going to see all year as well. So 3-2 ball game, one error, left a couple guys on base, hit pretty well, not as well as we had been the last 4 or 5 games, but it was just a good team we played.
In the 8th inning, when Goodhart got that last strike, was it a strike? I say no. What are your thoughts? 8th inning, there's a guy on second. You remember that?
Considering he's hitting 230 for us out of the DH, I think the umpire was probably making that call, and he's just not swinging the bat confidently right now. So that's whether fair. It was a strike or not, you know, he just didn't execute. So
don't bring your logic in here, Blake. I want more emotion.
Hey, if you don't want to pay attention to stats, you can go back to, what is it, NHL plus minus?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only stat there is, right? Just who scored, who didn't, who played the most, and how were the score played out whenever they were on the ice.
That's right.
There's a lot more going on in baseball. So you can't let the one strike determine that. We left, I want to say, 7 or 8 guys on base against Baylor. So we had opportunities.
Good question. My answer was no, it wasn't a strike. Would he have struck out anyway? Probably.
Probably, yeah. Because we all are. I mean, we're striking out more than twice as much as we walk, and that's a bad indicator. So you need to strike yeah. out maybe 1-1, maybe 1.5 strikeouts to a walk, and we're striking out well over 2. So we got to get that down.
Who leads the team in strikeouts? Is that Casey?
Yeah, Casey does.
I feel like people want to be hard on Casey. I'm kind of in there, but I don't know. Well,
preseason All-American, so the expectations were high. So really? I think a lot of the reaction from fans comes from that expectation. Yeah. Something had to give, and I think Van Horn just said, I'm going to go after this guy, and the rest of the team better get in line or you're next. So Casey will bounce back. He struggled a lot mid-season last year. He just is struggling early this year. So whenever he gets back going, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we're going to bounce back really fast from this. I think fans are just doom and gloom. Honestly, baseball is the one thing that's going well for us. So there's a lot of pressure on it, and yeah, we're just going to all freak out because our one good thing that we can kind of hang our hat on that we're good at finally just collapsed over the weekend. So it was pretty rough for us. So
yeah.
I'll give the fans a break in general. It's like, if we want to be pretty upset about it, hey, just let fans be upset. It's gonna be fine.
Right.
You know, fast forward a few weeks, it'll just be water under the bridge. But
and the truth of the matter is, we had one bad inning against was it Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
We gave up 3 on 2 errors, and then we started the game down 8-0 off of 4 errors in the first 2 innings against Texas. So we beat Texas 7-0 innings 3 through 9.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to look at it that way. So we're there. We got a good team. We just got to catch the ball.
The Baylor game was very close. The Texas game, I mean, it was close too. Really, the OU game was probably the one game that was most out of our reach, and it wasn't that crazy out of our reach. So,
right.
Again, just we didn't play well when it counted, and we got, you know, got bit because of it.
Well, and we struck out 18 times in that game out of 27 outs. So we only made them make 9 plays on defense. That's it.
Yikes.
Ooh. So, yeah.
Man.
So that's the story of that game.
So between Wicklander and Connor Nolan, Blake, who do you see? Do you see Nolan kind of maintaining, I guess you would say, the ace spot in the rotation, or what do you think? How do you think the season will unfold from a starting pitching perspective?
Yeah, I see him holding down the one spot. I don't think he's the question. He had no offensive help on Friday night, I guess it was, against Oklahoma, and has been really good in his other 2 starts. So Wicklander has got a really funky delivery. He's got some nasty stuff. But we saw last year he was on and off at times. And I think the Sunday starter is wide open because we got about 5 guys in our bullpen right now that are just dominating every time they come in. That's the best pitchers we have are out of our bullpen.
Zebulon Vermilion, however you say his name. Oh, yeah. You got to be awesome with that name. Zebulon.
Well, and I heard you guys talking about Marshall, a.k.a. Angus, the other day. And He is currently five appearances out of the bullpen and is third on our team in ERA. So starters typically are the best guys with ERA, and he's right there behind them.
Wow.
Can I just say this? There is no excuse for Wicklander to get rocked by Texas like he did. There's no excuse. Spoiler alert, that's my punch for today, because you can't let Texas do that to you. I don't care what happened. Inexcusable. Your thoughts, Tommy? It's Texas.
That's a great point. I do under. I wasn't with you until you said it's Texas, and then I'm with you. Yeah, that's if there is one game that you lay it all on the line for, like your body, like if you throw so hard that your arm rips off your body against Texas, build a statue for that guy. I don't even care if you win the game. Like, you laid it on the line to beat Texas, and I respect that 100%. So you're right, Chad.
Thank you.
Does deserve a punch.
Yep.
Blake, I doubt that you brought any high fives, best friends, or punches today, but did you have any on the baseball? You can even go basketball if you want. Did you have anything to say with those?
I pretty much punched the baseball of the basketball team three weeks ago and just gave up on them. So still like watching them play. Hope they can pull off some magical run, but I see NIT on a Monday night against who knows who.
Yep.
Maybe second round. Great, whatever. It's baseball season at this point.
Yep, exactly. I'm with you. Hey, well, Blake, tell us a little bit about, I know that you know a lot of high school, a lot of even younger kids playing baseball in Arkansas. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about some players maybe that are currently playing for Arkansas that the Razorbacks that you saw, you know, when they were younger. I don't know. Maybe share some stories if you have any. Maybe even share some stuff about, you know, some kids currently in high school that you're excited about.
Yeah, so on the current roster, Casey's one of our guys that came out of our program. Another local guy, Zach Morris, is having a great start to his freshman year. Kaysen Tolette is from out of Little Rock, and he will be a stud catcher. He's a freshman right now, so he's got plenty of time to sit there and let Opitz play while he develops, but he's going to be a really good guy for us. And then coming up, we've got just a stellar, I think we're, at number five, as high as number five in some of these recruiting rankings for the 2020 class. Not sure if that includes the man, Bobby Moore, but either way, still a really good recruiting class. Just looking at it right now, we've got Mason Wynn out of Texas and Caden Wallace out of Greenbrier, Arkansas, are both top 20 players in the nation. We have a 6'4 lefty, Nick Griffin, out of Monticello, and another 6'3 lefty in the 21 class out of Texas. Both guys throwing 92, 94. So we've got starting pitching coming. We've got Tink Hintz coming out of Pine Bluff next year. He's up to 96 this summer. So we have some starting arms coming to help these guys out.
Now, did you say Zach Morris? Is he out of Bayside High or?
Yeah. No, him and AC Slater, rooming together up there on the hill. But No, he's having a great start. I don't think a lot of guys saw a lot coming from him, but he's been really good out of the bullpen. He may be a guy that could jump into that Sunday starter role for us. Who knows?
Oh man. I'm just trying to picture if he does get that if he gets a Sunday starter. Would that be no one else really hop on that bandwagon there? Saved by the Bell? You love it? Tommy, you like Saved by the Bell when you were a kid?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay.
I was more into, like, Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers during that time, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, we did have Dominic Ficicello sounded like a Teenage Mutant Turtle.
That's true.
He's the unknown Teenage Mutant Turtle.
So, Blake, I was going to end with a final question.
Okay.
Metal bats or wooden bats at the college level? What's your opinion?
That's a good question.
From the problem with wooden bats with amateurs is they break way too much.
Yep.
Having to order a new bat all the time, having to replace them, have broken splinters all over the field that you got to clean up all the time. So I would definitely say college needs metal bats. But I will say that all these guys – can absolutely hit with wooden bats. They play with them in the summer. They play with them in high school in a lot of summer tournaments. So the idea that once you get out of college, you start using a wooden bat is kind of old school. Now guys are swinging wooden bats out of high school and doing it at levels that are just unbelievable compared to what the average person listening to this podcast thinks of baseball back when they played in high school. It's not even the same game anymore. So, and Arkansas is really, really about to shine with some of these guys they're bringing up. So we're really excited about a lot of our guys out of our program and then out of other programs as well in the state, just because of where Arkansas baseball has gone. And I think the Razorbacks have a lot to do with that. So
yeah,
just the influence they're having. So
yeah, it's really cool. It's insane to me. Like, I didn't realize how, and maybe it's a more recent thing. When I was in high school, I dabbled in one of the worst baseball teams probably in high school history. I was technically on it, but I never realized how, you know, Arkansas actually is nationally a very good state for baseball talent. It's really weird to say. I don't even know when that happened, but it's pretty shocking to me, and we're definitely reaping the benefits at the University of Arkansas, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's again, looking big picture, I think Dave Van Horn is the answer to when did that happen. I mean, he really came in and said, we're going to be good at this, and he got Frank Broyles behind him. We talked about the stadium being built in the mid-90s. I mean, that was the start of it, and Dave Van Horn saw the opportunity and has run with it, and we've just – I mean, it's now taken a generation to get all these players going, but, I mean, it's a huge deal coming out of Arkansas. So,
man, well, awesome stuff, Blake. We really appreciate you being on the show today. Definitely pay attention to what Blake said. If you know any kids that need to get into AR prospects, what was the other thing, the business you said?
Business insurance, Menard Wirtz agency that I work for out of Little Rock, Arkansas. So just any insurance needs, just look us up, find us on Google. I might send you a contact or something you can share on Twitter.
Yeah, man. Blake Cobb. Easy name to remember. How many Blake Cobbs are out there? Blake Cobb, C-O-B-B. Well, thanks so much, Blake. You're awesome. Hopefully we'll hear from you again. Hey, how about pretty soon? We'll see.
Yeah, try not to book me for any three-game sweep type weekends again.
I know,
so.
The weekend from hell. All right, man. Well, thanks. Well, alrighty. Hopefully y'all enjoyed Blake. Let me know if you want to hear him again. You probably will. I thought he did awesome. What'd you think, Chad?
Great call, Blake. Way smarter than you and me combined about baseball.
Yes. He brought in, what do you call those, box scores? He brought in stats. He brought in printed off sheets. He was ready to rock and roll. So I was impressed by that, Blake.
I just wanted a little more gut feel. It's not, you know, take the logic out. Things that make sense. I want to see some raw emotion lead to some bad decisions on like a fan base. I want more of that.
I will say this. I think Blake could probably beat most humans in a water drinking contest. He had one of those huge Ozark brand. What's the brand of water? Ozark or Ozarka?
Ozarka, yeah.
Yeah, Ozarka jugs. He was just chugging it the whole time. I was like, man, that dude, he drinks water. So congrats, Blake. Definitely.
Meeting, yeah, be like twice an hour
at minimum. Yeah, I think so. Good for Blake. So Chad, let's get into a little basketball talk. How about that?
Oops.
Not.
Hey, oh, speaking of hoops.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring an onion?
No, I didn't know that's what you wanted me to do.
Supposed to read my mind.
I figured you would come with something, but I don't have an onion with me. But we can definitely. You just let me know what the penalty is. I'm a man of my word.
I don't have an onion with me.
Normally,
what about? I told you. Man, it'd make me happy,
dude. Grief. You know things. You know things, and I don't understand your powers.
I got pure luck on that one.
Okay. I'm glad you at least say that, because if you were like, no, I just knew it, I'd be like, man, you really do know things. I just don't know. Man, how many points did Georgia score? Good gravy.
900. No, 90.
99 points. They scored 99 points, Chad.
Disgusting.
That is bad. We scored 89, but 99 points, Chad. Remember that team that we had at the beginning of the season that was like top three in defense and just was destroying teams defensively. Yeah, that team just let 99 points get on the board.
I forgot what that team looked like.
It's gone, man. Isn't that wild to think how the season has changed?
Yeah, doesn't exist. That team does not exist.
It's gone. It is a new entity.
It's crazy. I said it before. My punch. I'm hopping into it. Hopping in hot.
Let's get ready to
high five.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. A nice punch to the face.
Y'all ready for this? Punch is the Wicklander. You ruined Texas for me. No one should ever get waxed by Texas like that, ever. Ever. I still want a best friend, Mason, because, man, that guy's just doing some ridiculous stuff on the hardwood courts. Mason Jones, big props to him. Keeps scoring points, Tommy. He keeps scoring. You know,
he was named the co-SEC Player of the Week again, which is the fourth time to be named that, which is really elite territory. I don't think it's been done for, I can't remember. I saw a tweet about it. It's like,
you got to give them players.
There's only a couple of players that have ever done it four times and all this. Like, it's just crazy at this point, the accolades he's accumulated, but he won't. I guarantee, I'm positive he won't be SEC Player of the Year.
You got to give him Player of the Year. I don't care.
They won't. And that's the sad thing.
Maybe they will. Maybe they will.
Nah, they won't. I would trust you over me because you're always right, apparently, but they're not going to. They're going to give it to a team that has a better record. So I think it's either going to be a Kentucky player or Reggie Perry. Not that Mississippi State has a great record. They're kind of average too, but Reggie Perry has really been better than anybody on Kentucky's team. That's for sure.
And you know who I'm going to high five?
Tell me.
I'm going to high five Andy.
Whoa.
Andy from Memphis. Andy. High five. Man.
Hey, Andy.
Number one high five. High five for me because no one else deserves it.
Hey, well, speaking of Andy, he texted in again this week with his high five, best friends in punch. So let's get into that. So his high five goes to...
Hold on. Let's see if he returned my high five and we connect.
I don't think so. He does mention you in here, and it's probably not the way you're hoping for. So he high-fives Coach Neighbors, women's basketball coach, which shout out to them. They're having a great season. Chad and I don't really talk about women's basketball because we're going to use the lame excuse that women's basketball lovers say, like, we just don't care.
I didn't say that.
I said it. I don't have passion for it. Sorry. I just don't care enough about it to follow it closely. I support them. They're doing awesome. That's great. You know, I would say probably the chances of me watching a women's basketball game, maybe if they make the championship, I would watch the championship game.
I'd watch the championship.
But that's probably about it. And I really don't mean that as, I guess it is. There's no way of saying that and not sound mean, but I just have plenty of other sports that I watch and enjoy, and that's just, sorry, not one of them, unfortunately.
I'd watch the Final Four. If they were in the Final Four, I'd watch it.
I think I would, too. You're right, Chad. I would.
Elite Eight? Nope.
Nah. Final Four? Yeah. But I do know that Coach Neighbors is getting there. He is building a nice program. He is an Arkansas dude. We have the right coach there. Another really good hire by Hunter Yurecek. Great job. So Andy says he loves what Coach Neighbors is doing with the women's team. His hug, controversial hug, goes to Casey Martin because he thinks he needs one. That's pretty sweet, Andy. That dude, I think, has been trying to do too much. Just relax and let it come to you, my man. Very true. And he's going to punch the whole men's basketball team for making Chad right. And I can be in agreement. I guess he's on Team Tommy. And I will accept him with open arms onto Team Tommy. He might break my heart one day. But for now, I think he's on Team Tommy, not Team Chad.
He's got time to change.
I would be on Team Chad, to be honest. Chad's the right team to be on. Thank you, Andy. Great stuff again. So, for me, I'm going to high-five Anthony Edwards. What?
Can't do that.
I can, too. Man, that dude impressed me. You can just tell he's a different caliber. He's next-level caliber. He's good. his dunk to seal the game was pretty dang awesome. I hated it, but it was awesome. Just our players, like if you watch the replay of that, our players just literally like, it was like spiders when you shine a light on them. They just like scattered. They just let them have it. They didn't even try to stop that. Edwards is just, he's next level. And high five, dude. You beat us. You did.
Yeah.
Mm. My best friend, to be honest, I still at this second haven't decided on my best friend. So you know what? You know who I'm picking as my best friend right now? Andy, because he's Team Tommy. And so Andy got a high five and a best friend. Dang. And I'm going to punch. So last week I punched a city. Okay. So this week I'm going even weirder. I'm punching a day. I'm punching Saturday, February 29th, 2020. One of the worst days of Arkansas. It was just bad day. It was a bad day. Made me mad.
Bad,
I'm punching
bad,
the stupid
bad day.
Weird leap day thing, the 29th. Ugh. What the heck? The Preds lost. You know, that's another team I care. It was just a bad day for me for sports. So punching the whole day, man.
Knock it out.
All right. Well, we got those out of the way. So, Chad, I am a slight psychopath sometimes in my mind, and I do torturous things to myself to find some stats. So I compiled, because you brought it up and you asked, what is Silla's plus minus for the year? Okay. I did it. I couldn't find it anywhere, so I looked at all of the stats from all the games this year and calculated it. Not by hand, because we do have the majesty of Excel nowadays, but
can I guess?
I had to put it into Excel. So I have the number, and yes, you can definitely guess. For the year, Gene Tallsilla.
Minus 100.
No. Actually, he's not... The believe it or not, we have players that were plus 190 for the year.
Wow.
Who do you think was the top player for the year?
Oh, you did everyone.
Yeah, I've got the whole team. I got a lot of stats actually, Chad. So we can kind of dive into this. We might as well use it. So who do you think has the highest plus minus for the season?
Mason Jones.
Correct. Easy. At 190. Who do you think is next? It's going to get tough.
Oh, man. Jimmy Witt.
Jimmy Witt at 179. So he's 11 less than Mason Jones. Next.
Dude, next would be Desi Sills.
No. But keep going.
Adrio.
No, but keep going.
God, what am I doing? The humble beast.
No, you're skipping a main player, and I know why you're skipping him.
Isaiah Joe, but he's been hurt.
Isaiah Joe at plus 157. Next.
Wow, even with how many games he's missed.
Yes, next. Yeah. So fourth on the team Adriel Bailey, actually, with 138. Pretty good.
Wow.
Next is Sills at 134. So, you know, all those four guys, or wait, that's five guys. Pretty good.
Burgers and fries.
So now... Well, I guess it doesn't go too bad. So of our bench guys, who do you think is next? You already said it, to be honest. You said Humble Beast.
Correct. Humble Beast.
Out plus 112. Then it falls off a cliff pretty hard, okay?
Reggie Chaney, minus 20.
Reggie Chaney, plus 29.
Oh.
Okay. He is next.
Surprised me.
And then our guy that we aren't a fan of, Silla, Gene Tallsilla at plus 11.
No.
For the season. But I will say he was majorly bolstered by a really good plus minus in the first game of the season where we won by like 50 points. So he was like a plus 26 in his first game. So he started out
take
really
that
strong.
One out. That doesn't count.
So yeah, if you take that out, yeah, he would be negative a lot. But actually, the lowest on the team, Ethan Henderson.
Really?
Minus 21. He is our low point, let me tell you.
That's a bummer.
So
I like him.
I went a little bit deeper, Chad, okay? A little deeper.
You say the word dove or delve?
That's a great... I say dove, but delve is probably a better word. I don't know if both are correct, but I think delve is probably better.
I think delve's not a real word.
I don't know. I always say delve. I'm going to dive or dove. Yeah.
I'm a dove guy.
Yeah. Right, okay. But so I was like, I'm not satisfied with this Silla stuff. This makes Silla look too good. I'm not satisfied. Yeah. Let's find something that makes him look really bad. So I found it, Chad. So then I wanted to look at plus minus in relation to minutes on the court. Like, oh, so if you play 5 minutes but have like negative 20, that's really bad. But if you play like 40 minutes, that's not maybe as bad. So I made a plus minus per minute stat. This. So this is like their average, what average happens throughout the season in a given minute so far.
Minus five per minute.
And Silla's, so looking at the team, just everyone's performance for the year, of the, let's see, of the worst, how many is this? Of the worst eight performances this year of any player, Silla is five of the eight on this. So against Western Kentucky, he played 1 minute and had a negative four, okay? Against Auburn, he played 2 minutes and had a negative four. Against South,
that's the Silla I know and love.
Against South Carolina, he played 3 minutes and had a negative five. At Florida, he played 11 minutes, had a negative 17.
Oh.
And then against Valpo, he played 4 minutes and had a negative six. So this is why we have shaped Silla being so bad. In these short spurts, multiple games, he's just bombed. Even if he's done good things, like in other games, it doesn't matter. This is what matters. And also of note, hey, we'll be fair. I'll mention the other three performances. So Reggie Chaney against Georgia recently, he played 2 minutes, negative seven. Good goodness. Yes. And then Ethan Henderson started against Georgia. Played six minutes, negative 18. Ethan, bad. And then finally, Jamario Bell rounds it out against Mississippi State. He played one minute with a negative two. So, hey, maybe those stats are entertaining to you, but yeah, Gene Tall, man. Just, if he's on the court, just don't expect good things to happen.
I've given up on him.
That's fair. And yeah, so there's probably more stats that I could glean off of here. So, hey, we'll keep thinking. Just throw out some questions if you think of any, Chad, and I'll see if I can help answer with plus minuses and like which starter maybe had the worst plus minus that thing. I can just tell you Ethan Henderson, he's been bad. He's been bad. So, he needs to really get a lot better.
That's awesome you did that. That's really cool. Love the insight.
So one other little research project I did was I was sitting here thinking, Chad, we're way below 500 in our conference play at the moment, right? We are not looking good with that. Let's see. We are currently at 6-10 in the conference. So if we win our next two games, we're going to be 8-10 if we win. That ain't that great, okay? So I was looking, let's just say in the SEC day, since we joined the SEC, have we ever had a conference record comparable to that and made the NCAA tournament? Have we? And let me just tell you, as you might expect, it's not looking good for us if you just look at that. There were a couple seasons that we went 7-9, so we were right there on the borderline of being really close to being 500, lost a game, and we still made the tournament. And the conference records when we made the NIT last year, we had an 8-10 conference record. In 2013, 2014, we were 10-8 in conference and still went to the NIT. And then the one before that was actually the 96-97 season. We went 500, and we actually went to the Final Four in the NIT that year. But, you know, obviously this is a pretty small sample size. We're just looking at one team for the past 20-whatever years. But
taking into consideration, too, the SEC is not good this year. So, I mean, that play, like if you were 8-10 or what, 7, whatever, and, like, the conference is really good, you know, but, do you think the SEC is good this year?
Good, no, but it's, what would I call it? I would call it deep in a, like, average sense, if that makes sense. There's a lot of average, so you can't play below average and win, because most likely, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a bad game, you're going to lose. You can't just, there's no cupcakes. I guess Vandy was that, and they turned it around. It's like, everybody's
But there's
fine.
Four, four tourney teams.
Yeah, right? Maybe five. Three or maybe four. Five, I would say. We'll mm-hmm. see. But yeah, I think entering into the season, I thought it would be six. I wouldn't be shocked, like you said. I think there's going to be five. That's my gut. And I don't think Arkansas is going to be one of those at all.
No. Well, you could. I think the non-conference wins really helped. The Indiana's doing really yep. well. TCU is doing. They just beat the number one team in the country.
Wow. Okay. Like, I hadn't paid attention.
How does that happen?
Yeah, that's wild.
Why did TCU just? Indiana's definitely. I mean, a tournament team doing well too. So I don't know. I mean, those games. And then I mean, Georgia Tech's not great, man, but I mean, that was a road win.
Yep.
Still, so that's carrying a lot of weight, but it. I mean, they have to beat LSU anyway.
Yep.
And I mean, do we really feel like we're going to beat LSU? I hope so.
This is what I was looking for earlier. So the lowest overall like win total that we still went to the tournament in, we won 19 games in the 99-2000 season and still went to the tournament. We went 7-9 in conference play. So 19 wins is the lowest that we ever still made the tournament. Right now, we're sitting at 18 wins. So...
Ooh, so you're telling me there's a chance?
No, I'm not telling you that. We absolutely need to get to 20 wins to even be thinking about it, and that means we have to beat LSU and Texas A&M. If we lose either of those games, I mean, maybe that's common sense by now. I already think we're NIT bound. Like, give me a stamp. I would do it. You know, it's going to happen, but I sure hope not. We'll have to beat LSU. There is no doubt, and it's going to be tough. It is senior night, so Gene Tulsilla will get special honor in this game. So maybe he'll have his best game. We'll see. Of course, Jimmy Witt, Adriel Bailey also getting some love as well.
Adrio deserves it, man. Gotta love Adrio.
I agree. You do have to love Adrio. It was weird. I was watched a press conference with the players. Jimmy Witt, Adrio Bailey did a pregame press conference today, and Jimmy Witt said that it was like Adrio was getting recruited when he was his freshman year, so he actually got to like see Adrio being recruited. And I was like, that's weird. You know, you don't realize kind of how old Jimmy Witt is at this point, but yeah, he's like, he's the elder statesman. So. It's pretty cool. So any other takeaways, Chad, that you have from the Georgia game or where basketball's at or any other predictions?
I feel like people are just tired of breaking down losses.
Yeah.
We know. I mean, we know. Again, we know the team is. We know what they did wrong. They got owned in the paint. What's there more to talk about?
It's like
that's the story of the
season. The key to the LSU game? Rebounds. Duh. It's been the key to every single game we've played. Like, it's still going to be the
Joe,
key.
Mason and Witt got to score. We got to hit from three, and you got to limit what they do down low and get some turn. They got forced turnovers on defense because we ain't rebounding. So we got to force those turnovers. That's the only way to win.
Got to elevate. Got to play your best game. That's just what it is, and we'll see. So we'll still be watching. Still love the Hogs. Not feeling confident about the tourney.
Oh yeah, nah.
What is interesting is I remember at one point, Chad remembers this well because he disagreed with me. You know, people were saying we have a 95% chance of making the tournament at one point, like in the middle of play. Like that was a serious thing because of all the analytics. And it's very likely that we're not now. And, you know, do we want to spin that against Musselman? I could say that you have like he started Ethan Henderson this last game against Georgia. Terrible decision. He played 6 minutes and was negative 20 something points on the court, but he made the wrong decision. That's clear. I mean, he's not perfect. So it's, you know, of course you can poke holes in Musselman right now. He's got a tough team to manage. I think, you know, that's the other side of the argument, you know. He doesn't have all his repertoire of players that he wants. So,
I know the popular thing to say is, well, Joe hadn't got hurt. He's probably warranted. You know, if Joe hadn't got hurt and Jimmy Witt was a little banged up too. But I mean, that just happens in a season. But we're just thin. I think they would have made a tournament. But that doesn't really mean anything because you can't really hang a banner to say, well, if Joe hadn't got hurt, we would have made the tournament.
That's a good point. I think there's some games that he would have made the difference in for sure. You know, we barely lost to Mississippi State. That one immediately comes to mind. You know, there's a few games like that you're like, you know, instead of that five-game losing streak, could we have won two out of those three, or out of those five, I mean, and gone 2-3, I feel like that's likely. Mm-hmm. And then that would be the difference between us making the tournament. Not honestly, it's crazy that it was that slim of margins, but it really was this year. But hey, hopefully they surprise us. So Chad, did you see that, Daniel Gafford and Bobby Portis, played this weekend against each other?
I saw that they were playing against each other. But I did not watch the game.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if you watched it.
No, I did not watch it. Don't think I've watched any NBA this season. I don't think.
None, not one game. When's the last time you watched an NBA
like
game?
A full game? Probably a full game. Wow, that's a really hard one for me. Like I was going to say, I've watched bits and pieces of like the NBA finals and stuff. I typically root for LeBron. I don't really anymore. There was just a time period that I did probably a few years ago. Yeah. It's been a while, Chad. I watched some Greek Freak last season, but I didn't watch a full game. Yeah. He's the only player I like right now in the NBA. Well, besides Arkansas players. So, Chad, I think that's it for us this week. Do you have anything you wanted to leave with the listeners?
I don't. I don't have anything this week. I have nothing. Just, you know what? Actually, I do have something. It goes hand in hand with having nothing.
Absolutely.
Is take some time to just sit back and do nothing. Put all electronics down. Put everything down. Sit back and do nothing for 15 minutes.
Love it.
And see how you feel.
Love it.
Your body's going to go into shock because it's going to be like, I got to do something. I got to look at something. But just don't.
Isn't it weird how we now have this pull to constantly be doing something? Like, even if you have like a second to not be doing something, it's like that's when you grab your phone to like check Twitter or check emails. It's like we literally don't ever not do something. It's a problem. I mean, and what's funny is we think we're doing something and yet we're doing absolutely nothing. It's Twitter. Yeah. Like, are you doing anything important on there or Facebook? It's like, no, you're not. You're not doing a single important thing.
And it's okay to sit there and do nothing.
Yes.
But after like 5 minutes, your body's going to start like twitching. Like, I got to do something.
I know, it's weird. I did this thing today. I've never done it before. But I like, this is going to sound really weird. I like covered my eyes and I put my fingers in my ears just to like have no sound and no like light, just to be in like this weird, it's not, what do they call those chambers where there's like no sensations or like you can't tell, what's that called?
Prison?
Perfect. Something like that. It's kind of like the Stranger Things where they like blindfold her and like put her in water and there's no gravity or whatever. It's kind of like that. I did that today. I don't really know why, but I did it for like a couple minutes and I was like, this
was it awesome?
I don't know. I didn't really get much out of it, to be honest. I thought I'd get more out of it. And I was like, well, my face got hot. That's about all I got out of it. But you might try that technique. I was shocked that I could actually do that with my hands, but I'm glad no one walked in on me and saw me doing that. They'd be like, have to come tap me on the shoulder. Like, what is this freak
Dad,
doing?
What are you doing?
All right, man. Well, we've got some basketball games coming up. We've got a baseball game tomorrow night against, who are we playing?
Illinois State.
I was about to say Eastern Illinois, and I knew that wasn't right. Illinois State. Who do we got after that?
And I'll talk about their pitchers however I want to.
That sounds good. Basketball obviously has a game on Wednesday against LSU at home. We play at Texas A&M on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. So, you know, plan your day out accordingly. What else does baseball have going on, Chad? I got to look up the schedule.
Baseball. I was so wrapped into this weekend. I didn't even look ahead to the next weekend, and I got disappointed.
Yeah, okay. So we've got Illinois State on Tuesday. Super random game at 3 p.m. So if you're one who can watch while you work, hey, there you go. And then at we have a weekend series against South Alabama. Friday, Saturday, Sunday games.
Should be a nice weather, so get out to the ballpark.
That's right.
Get out there.
That is right. Well, thank you, Chad. Thank you, Blake, who's not on the call right now, but thank you both. Appreciate you. Y'all were great.
Yeah.
And as always, woo pig.
Woo pig.
Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast and on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas,
opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!